An external review of culture and governance at RTE was ordered by the Media Minister Catherine Martin last night in response to a crisis over disclosures that the broadcaster paid its top presenter Ryan Tuberty €345,000 more than it had publicly declared. On Wednesday, RTE executives will appear before the Oireachtas Media Committee to answer questions about the controversy. This programme asked RTE a series of questions, some of which are likely to be asked by TDs on Wednesday, including whether the undisclosed payments to Ryan Tuberty were transacted in such a way as to conceal them from the public. RTE said it was not commenting on this, citing processes, legal obligations and the rights of individuals. We also asked who initiated the arrangement, who signed off on it and who was aware of it. RTE gave us the same answer, saying it was not commenting and citing processes, legal obligations and the rights of individuals. We also asked whether the chief financial officer had oversight of the barter account through which these transactions were carried out. We were told no. However, RTE said its chief financial officer did have access to the barter account when compiling the annual financial statements for the company, and the transactions were recorded in the annual accounts as an end-of-year adjustment. They were not recorded in the monthly management accounts. Earlier, I spoke with Niamh Smith. She is the chairperson of the Oireachtas Media Committee, which, as we now know, was given false information about salaries at RTE in the past. I asked her if she would first want to hear an apology from RTE executives to the committee and the Oireachtas when they appear before her on Wednesday.
I most certainly would, Justin. And I mean, the main role and focus of our committee in relation to RTE is governance. And this is about a corporate governance issue within RTE, and it's governance at the very highest level. And when I say that, I mean the executive. So, you know, already we can narrow it down to a small number of people who have been involved in this scandal as it is within RTE, and I'm mindful of all the hard-working journalists within the organisation, within research and production and all of that. And I think it's really important that we kind of say that at the outset, that we have a small number of people here who are involved in this, and hopefully that small number of people will be able to come before our Oireachtas committee on Wednesday and give clarity, clear answers, transparency and accountability on the issues that you've raised and as things have unfolded over the last number of days within RTE.
And you've heard some of the answers they provided to us, some of the non-answers, if you will. Would you expect clear answers to those questions when executives appear before your committee on Wednesday?
Well, Justin, it would be a huge mistake of the executive to come before our committee with responsibility to come in before us on Wednesday and give those non-answers that you have read out. That will only increase annoyance, it will irritate the public even further, and it will damage the brand even further. So I really hope, because we have had RTE before us on a number of occasions, and often we've heard when questions have come from my colleagues around the committee room on various issues to do with funding and to do with, you know, sponsorship, and we know this, we're always given the line commercial sensitivity. Well, I'm sorry, but commercial sensitivity is not going to do it at our committee meeting, I can assure you, on Wednesday. We need clarity, we need answers, we need to know who knew what, who signed off on this, who agreed to this, how long. We've been given some time frame for the length of time. This is not something new. This has been going on, I would argue, for the full duration and length, the term of Dee Forbes' time within RTE, and obviously arguably the previous chair of RTE as well. And I really hope, for the sake of RTE and for the sake of all the staff, their colleagues most especially, because I think it's become very apparent the anger that's within the staff of RTE, and absolutely rightly so. We expect the very highest standards of public service from our national broadcaster, and to do that and ensure that, we need answers, clear answers on Wednesday.
Do you expect that by the time you meet with RTE management and board members on Wednesday, that there will have been some accountability for what happened?
I most certainly do. And as I said, you know, Wednesday is only a couple of days away at this point. And I would imagine that the executive are, you know, busy trying to put together the answers that will be inevitably asked. I don't think anybody could say they couldn't expect the kind of answer questions they're going to be asked. They're going to be asked about who knew what, as I said, and when, who agreed to this. And it is important to say, just, this is against a backdrop of RTE's numerous visits and I suppose accounts coming into our committee, and it was always a backdrop of the licence fee is broken. RTE can't continue to function the way we're functioning with government funding. We need more monies. And, you know, and this is what has, I suppose, has transpired and revealed itself over the last number of days. So there's huge anger, to be honest. As you said, the committee does feel misled, as the public feels misled.
Yes.
So there's a real opportunity, and I really hope that the executive of RTE take the opportunity, handle this meeting very rightly, very correctly, very transparently, and show accountability.
Does accountability mean people losing their positions over this?
Well, I do think that accountability needs will be demonstrated only by actions, and those actions to be taken, I suppose, will have to qualify and quantify against the actions that were taken to mislead. And if there, you know, we do know that the committee has been led, as said, misled, the government been misled, the public, you know, those type of actions, if that's what's required, that's what's required. People, and this is not a witch hunt, this is not looking for somebody's head, as said, this is looking for accountability. And as is, commercial sensitivity is not going to wash at a committee meeting like what we're facing on Wednesday.
As you know, the Director General, Dee Forbes, was suspended from her position last Wednesday. Has she been invited to appear before your committee?
She most certainly has. Dee Forbes is one is a key person in all of this, a key person in the decisions that were taken, a key person in the idea, I suppose, that fermented itself in the first place to come up with a contract and actions like this. And it's the secrecy around all of this.
Have you been given an indication that Dee Forbes will attend?
No, at this point we haven't. But to be fair, just in our invitations would have only gone out on Friday. We held a private meeting with my colleagues on Friday to discuss matters pertaining to RTE. And I suppose the overriding view of that committee is that we would have the executive, we've asked the executive members that we feel would be most closest to the issue itself and best able, equipped and knowledgeable to answer the questions that we need answers to. And as part of that, we have invited Dee Forbes in. I'm sure Dee Forbes would like the opportunity to come in and give some accountability and transparency to the issues.
And is she obliged? Can you compel the Director General to come before you, and indeed the other members of the executive and board, if they decide perhaps that it's not in their interests? Do you have compellability powers?
We most certainly do, Justin, but I feel and I would hope that the executive, including Dee Forbes of RTE, knowing the public mood out there, knowing the damage this has caused to the brand of RTE, and in absolute consideration and solidarity for their colleagues that feel so let down, I feel that they will want to come in. It's an opportunity for them. We're facilitating for them to get it all out there and to give clear and accurate answers to the public, not just to the Oireachtas committee. It's an opportunity to do it in a controlled, measured way within our committee. And I'm sure that they would grasp that opportunity to do that. It would be foolish not to, may I add.
Last night, as we know, the Minister, Catherine Martin, announced an external review of governance and culture at RTE would be carried out. Who should conduct that review?
Well, that review should be conducted externally. I think it probably needs the oversight and experience of somebody who is involved in public service broadcasting as well. And can I add, I am delighted to see the Minister has taken action here and that the government is going to pause their work on continued funding for RTE. We all want to see RTE being in a financial having the financial strength to, I suppose, move with the times and become more digitalised, as we've always heard at our committee meetings. But on the backdrop of what has transpired over the last couple of days, government cannot commit to that. They will need answers. They will need direction. They will need to see that RTE is serious about rebuilding confidence, about ensuring that there's openness and transparency, and that there is accountability for figures like 200 million of annual revenue and more possibly into the future for RTE.
What would you say to compliant licence fee payers now, many of whom struggling with their own finances and are looking at these enormous sums of money which were paid out and not declared by RTE, and they may be asking questions perhaps about paying their own licence fee now? What would you, as chair of the Oireachtas Media Committee, say to those people?
I know that it is really, really upsetting, and I listened to all the shows this week, and I suppose particularly in Liveline, where you're getting, I suppose, public mood and public reaction, was very clear to me that there's huge anger out there. And I think it would be a huge challenge for RTE to get the ordinary person who is so compliant and probably has been for years and years paying their TV licence to continue in that vein. And I think the only way that RTE can do that is by giving that accountability, showing and demonstrating that it is money well spent. But I think this has been hugely damaging. But I mean, it's like everything. There is an opportunity to rehabilitate the brand of RTE, but the staff of RTE need to have confidence in their management. The public need to have confidence in what they're hearing and they're seeing from RTE. The government needs to, the committee needs to. So there's a huge body of work here to be done to rebuild the brand and the confidence, the trust, all of that, you know, those important aspects of public broadcasting with RTE. And there's only a number of people at the heart that can really demonstrate that to ensure that that happens.
That was Niamh Smith, chair of the Oireachtas Media Committee, speaking to me earlier. We did ask a representative of RTE Director General Dee Forbes, who's currently suspended from her role, whether she would appear before the committee on Wednesday. We did not receive a reply. We also asked for an interview with Ms. Forbes, with the chair of RTE, Shuni Rahala, the former chair, Moya Doherty, a current representative of the board, a representative of RTE management, the presenter, Ryan Tuberty, and his agent, Noel Kelly. None of them were available. Let's go to our Limerick studio now and speak with Minister of State Patrick O'Donovan, who has raised questions in the past on a number of occasions about transparency around salaries at RTE. Minister, good afternoon and welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Justin, and good afternoon to your listeners.
What do you want to hear from the people who manage RTE now?
Well, look, I just listening to my colleague Niamh Smith there, and she's absolutely right. What we can't have here now is stonewalling. Look, the lid has been lifted here, and the sooner we get to a situation where we have full disclosure, the better. Because, look, RT is a fundamental part of our democracy. It is a fundamental part of what it is that, you know, I suppose, identifies us as Irish people. And it isn't without its flaws. But that doesn't mean that it is entirely, you know, incapable of being rehabilitated. And we need to be conscious of the fact that in a democracy, RTE does very important work. Like, you know, primetime RTE investigates, just to name a few, in terms of holding people like myself and others in government to account. But that being said, the organisation does have a fundamental problem now. And the sooner it comes to terms with it, and I think the initiative that has been launched by Minister Catherine Martin in my own department as well, as being taken responsibility for the Gaeltacht, is the right thing to do, independent, external, and to do it in such a way that it will be speedily done and reported to government and actions taken thereafter.
Does there need to be accountability? Does there need to be resignations for what happened here?
Well, first of all, I think it's a bit early in the day, Justin, to be talking about that because, you know, up until last Friday, most people in Ireland would never have heard of a barter account, what it is and how it's managed and who has access to it, who administers the funds into and out of it. And just there in your introduction, you referred to, for instance, the chief financial officer and the transactions not being recorded monthly but being recorded annually. What was the role of the board? There's and look, as a former member of the public account Accounts Committee, there's an awful lot of questions that need to be looked at here first. But we also need to ask ourselves, is this a culture that is just within RTE, or does it extend to other commercial semi-state and public bodies where there are these barter accounts which were used for purposes for which certainly the people that we've heard from so far within the RTE organisation, they didn't have the knowledge of it.
You've been critical in the past of high salaries at RTE. We know that in the case of at least one presenter that the figures that were presented were even higher than were published. Do the top salaries at this organisation also need to be reviewed as part of this external review of corporate governance and culture?
Well, going back to Niamh Smith's point there with regard to the television licence, I mean, I was at the Clare and Dublin and Galway and Tipperary match last night, and it's the only thing that people are talking about, and people are livid. Like, why should we pay this €160 at all? We have to pay it, because if we don't pay it, we're not going to have a public service broadcaster that's going to hold the government and others to account, but by the same token, been held to account itself. But going back to the point that you raised around my previous questions, I asked when I was a member of the forerunner to the current media committee, the communications committee, back as far as 2015, questions about a presenter that was moving to RT, was told that I wouldn't be entitled to that information, even though I was a licensed payer, a member of the Oireachtas, a member of that committee, but that I'd find out in 3 years' time. Now, that really isn't good enough. And I was also told at that committee meeting at the time that, you know, that the sponsorship deal that surrounded the running and operation of that particular programme more than covered the cost of that individual's move to RT. Now, that really isn't good enough either. And at the time, you know, I was lampooned by many, some media commentators and others, for having the audacity to question the fact that we might actually question these for fear that they'd go somewhere else. Now, to be honest about it, if we're going to rebuild trust in the organisation, which we have to, we just have to, then everything has to be put on the table. And I would say that, look, no more than in my own profession, where we hit rock bottom in the immediate aftermath of tribunals and everything else, that by what I mean by that, the profession of politics, it had to re-establish itself on things like ethics registers, declarations of interest, public interest declarations, and a whole swathe of other things that the public now rightly so have access to. And I think that, you know, there also needs to be a re-examination here, Justin, of what public service broadcast is. Mm. Because currently under the Act, public service broadcast is that which is only carried out by RTE. It isn't that which is carried out by Live 95, Today FM, News Talk or anybody else. And RTE have monopolised 90% of the licence fee up to recently. And I think that is something that is definitely on the table now.
Should there be a cap on salaries? Should that form part of this external review?
Well, look, I mean, the external review can examine that himself. I mean, I've made previous pronouncements with regard to, you know, public servants in various different elements of the public. And it's not just, this is not just the preserve of RTE. We've seen it in the civil service as well, where they're earning salaries in excess of multiples of what the Taoiseach of the country is. Look, we're a small country. We've come through a very difficult time economically and otherwise. Now we're a very wealthy country at the moment and things are going all right. But ultimately, the government is the bank of last reserve here for RTE, because there's no doubt about it. There's going to be a serious hit to the licence fee. That's inevitable. There probably will be serious hits as well in relation to commercial revenue that can be gleaned. So the government are going to have to take up the tab, and Joe and Mary Public are going to wind up paying for this, because it is a fundamental part of our democracy.
And just on that point, what is the political will then to provide RTE with the resources it needs to keep going?
Well, I tell you, you can forget about any extension of the television licence or any reform of it in the near future anyway. That is now dead in the water. But the organisation has to be kept afloat. There's no doubt about that. But there are elements of the organisation that are quite honest about it are underperforming and have been underperforming for donkey's years. And really, we have to be asking ourselves the question, are we getting value for money? Like, true public service broadcast is that which is carried out, in my estimation, through Van na Gaeilge, through TG Cahir and Radio na Gaeltacht. Because there's nobody else that would do that in a million years, because it wouldn't be commercially viable. RTE are competing with Today FM, they're competing with Clare FM, they're competing with Galway Bay FM for commercial revenue, and at the same time they're monopolising 90% of the licence fee. Like, this is not a sustainable model into the future, and it has to change, and RTE has to be prepared to change with it. And if that means it is a smaller organisation, maybe with less reach, doing more of the work that it's doing in a concentrated fashion, then that's something that'll have to be, I believe, form part of any review in terms of the funding model into the future.
And yet, when people will remember when a suggestion was proposed that Limerick studio would be closed, that you were the first to object.
I was the first to object, because this, again, is the home of another element of RTE that wouldn't attract the level of commercial revenue that, for instance, this RTE Radio 1 would. I'm sitting in the Lyric Studios. Now, Lyric is absolute public service broadcast, because it's broadcasting classical music to people that wouldn't attract the commercial revenue that RTE is up in competition with Today FM and News Talk on. But as well as that, if RTE is to be a public service broadcaster, then its remit to the regions is something that's really important. It is not a Dublin radio station, and I know the temptation always has been to present the organisation as such, and it's not. So if there's going to be an examination and the organisation, okay, laid bare into the future, then there's a number of things that have to be on the table as part of that.
Minister of State Patrick O'Donovan, thank you for talking to us today from our Limerick studio. We will have more on the RTE controversy later in this programme. After the break, we'll speak with the HSE boss Bernard Gloucester about the abuse of elderly people in nursing homes.